Hopefully you have found Psalm chapter 22. Did you drop it on the way in, love? No, there's coffee all over this. Hold on. This is why we don't have coffee in church. So you may be asking, why are you drinking coffee in church? That is a really good question. Psalm chapter 22. Verse 27, look at these great verses, Psalm 22, 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's. And he, oh, look at this. We should let somebody know. And he is the governor among the nations. Praise the Lord. You like that one, Brother Parrott? Yeah, that's a good verse. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you that we know that you're in control. God, we know that you rule and reign, and God, help us to be your servants, fulfilling your will, Lord, in our families, as individuals, and as a church. Lord, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us see you working in our life. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll often hear me speak of this thought or idea, but perspective is really important. How we see things changes how we respond to it. You've heard the adage, is the glass half full or half empty, right? If it's filled halfway, well, it's either half full or half empty. And they, you know, use that to show, are you optimistic or, pessimistic, or are you positive or negative kind of person, you know? All that. And, the way we view our world, we can look around and get discouraged. Well, my guy didn't get in, or this COVID thing, or work, or all that. But we're failing to take into account verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's. See, we're looking at life through our perspective, not God's perspective. See, there's some truths about God. I give you a little handout. The five truths. There's a lot of truths about God. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at some truths about God. We're going to make the application of what God is trying to do. And then we're going to take it one step further of how does my family help fulfill what God is trying to do. All right, so Psalm chapter 22 reminds us, yes, that God is in control. Truths about God. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. We're going to go sword drill style quick here. We got a bunch of verses, and the clock today is not our friend. And, maybe it is. Maybe we'll get out 20 minutes early. But we're going to try and have people read verses. Sam, are you at Exodus 34? Okay. 34:6. Can you read it nice and loud?
Yes. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.
Isn't that the Lord? Truth number one, God loves people. God loves people. If you didn't get a handout, the handouts were on their way in. Anybody not get one? Anybody need one? How's that? Anybody need one? Ms. Dickinson needs one. All right. Mr. Runyon could use one. Thank you. We have a couple fine-looking gentlemen. How's that mask working for you, Brother Seaman? Good. Yeah. They're masks, not blindfolds, buddy. Truth number one, God loves people. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. When you get it, just put your hand up. I'll call on you. 1 John, no candy, but Abby, 1 John 4:16, please read it nice and loud. God loves us. Truth number one, that we can't, there are certain things that we can refute. There are certain things that are debatable, but truths about God are concrete, meaning they don't move. God loves people. We saw that in Exodus chapter 34 when it told us his approach to people. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He does all that because he loves us. In 1 John chapter 4, it tells us that his very nature is to love man. If there was ever a question or doubt about God's love, all we have to do is look at one place, the cross. The question of his love was settled for us through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Truth number one, God loves people. Truth number two, God wants to redeem the lost. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 9 it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's will for mankind is that they repent of their sin and turn to him. God wants to redeem the lost. Number one, God loves people. Number two, God wants to redeem the lost. God desires that all to be saved, people of all ages. And God has sought to have a relationship with his creation and has never stopped. Listen now, God does not stop pursuing the lost. Isn't that good to know? Hey, that loved one that you have, or that neighbor that you have that you feel like, and we'll talk about this a little bit in God working, but that you feel like, oh, they're just hard-hearted. Please know that God's will is that they'd be saved. He desires and he is actively working in their life to draw them to him. Maybe you have a wayward child. Maybe have someone that just will not turn. Do you know the Holy Spirit of God is working in their hearts? God wants to redeem the lost. God loves people. Number three, here's a truth that baffles my mind. As weird as it may sound, God's best strategy for accomplishing those two things is to use you and I. He could have expressed his message or done a wide range of things, but he has chosen mankind, to accomplish his will. Isn't that strange to you? The flawed individuals, I feel like, you know, I was... We went to this men's retreat this past weekend, which was fantastic. And there was this really big hill, and I walked up this hill, and I'm sitting up at the top of the hill trying to get my heart rate down. And man, I'm sitting up there, and it took a good 15 minutes. It wasn't just a little hill. It was a hike up that thing. And you're up there, and you're huffing and puffing. I'm sitting there, and I'm just enjoying it. And I hear gunshots going this way. And thankfully, they weren't coming at me. And you know, I was just sitting up there. And I hear behind me this rustling. I'm like, oh, this is going to be wonderful. Here it is, just me and the Lord talking to the Lord. Here I am looking out over the camp, gunshots going off. And a deer is going to come right up and just sit right next to me. This is what I'm thinking, right? And sure enough, I hear this rustling. I believed so much it was going to be a deer, I even got my glasses on. And so I turned my, look, and here comes a little squirrel. Man, it sounded so big. I'm sitting there, and there he is, and he, you know, he looks at me, and then he, like, lays flat, you know? Have you ever seen him, like, lays flat, he's got a mouthful of stuff. I was just looking at him, and he's just doing what he's been told. Say, what's that? Winter's coming, and you're going to have to get ready for winter. You're going to have to hibernate or pack some food away so you can survive. Say, who told them that? God told them that. And I look at the animals, and they just do what God says. They go around, they wander around, and they eat. And the only creation that rebels against God's will is us. And yet, those are the ones that he has strategically chosen to use to accomplish his will. Makes no sense to me, but that's God's plan. So you got a verse for that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll get back to the sword drills. This is a little bit of a passage, and I don't want to interrupt anybody while they're reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." That's point number one and two. God loves us and is desiring. He wants to redeem us. He is reconciled. He's done all the work. And the Bible says, "And hath given to us now the ministry of reconciliation." God has redeemed me and immediately commissions us to do God's work. Okay, now that you've been reconciled, now that someone has brought you to me, now it's your job to go get somebody else. That is our responsibility, and that is what he does. In verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Praise the Lord for the grace of God and the mercy of God. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, it says. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God says, I got a plan for your life. Not only have I saved you, not only have you fulfilled my will in doing that, but now I want you to go do that again for somebody else. God, number one, loves people. Number two, God wants to redeem the lost. Number three, God uses people. All the stories in the Bible are about how God, through people, has accomplished his work. I look at what God is able to make. He's able to make the world. He makes pine trees. Last night we were sitting there, and I don't know what you do with your Saturday nights, but we turned on WXXI, and we wound down with Bob Ross painting mountains and pretty little trees and just so happy in your world. And, you know, it's just nice. No one's getting shot. No one's getting yelled at. No one's stealing stuff. We're just watching. Say that happens on Saturday night on TV, that's what's going on. So we're watching that and we're looking at God's creation and he's talking about that stuff. And I look out here and I look at the pine tree and he can make a pine tree. Surely he could make a boat. But yet, he commissioned Noah to make the boat. He does things and always has from cover to cover with people. Have them all sit down. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to break them into groups, and I'll give you the fish, and then you distribute. Say, it was a time-sensitive issue. He needed more people. He did not need more people. He chose to use people. And God, on a regular basis, again, I don't know why, but chooses to use you and I to accomplish his will. We have to remember that. God uses people. Truth number four. Number one, God loves people. Number two, God wants to redeem the lost. Number three, God uses people. Number four, here's a truth we have got to remember. God is not sometimes, not occasionally, not once in a while, always at work. Always at work. God is always working. The Spirit of God is active, working in the hearts of people around us. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. Philippians chapter 2. Anybody there? Not you again, Abby. Stop it. All right. Amy, can you read Philippians 2:13? God is working in you. Both. Say, who's that? The other person. God's working in you and somebody else. And he's trying to bring you two together. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 17. John 5. God is working around you. John chapter 5. Anybody there? Anybody there? All right. Ms. Bauman, are you there? Okay, can you read 5:17? God is working. God doesn't take a day off. Man, it was so nice. Thursday afternoon, we got in the bus. Mr. Seatman drove us down. Man, chauffeurs, where to go? I'm telling you. Got in the bus, we drove down, we stopped one time, got gas, made it there. No one asked me questions. We went to a place. I'm a nobody. It was nice. And just enjoyed the preaching, enjoyed the singing, having no responsibilities, no one asking a thousand, the kids weren't there asking, questions or whatever. It was nice to just take a couple days off. You know, God never takes a day off. God is always working. He's not tired out. He's not like, whoo, man, 2020 was rough. I'm just going to take if someone called in sick January of 2021, no one would question that. Right? Like, yeah, 2020 was tough. You get January off. I understand. But God isn't like, they're just not doing what I wanted. I need a break for a day. God's always working. In our life, people are at all different places. Some people are ripe and ready to make a decision for Christ. And it was a few weeks ago, I can't remember who was the special preacher, but Barry came in. Remember Barry? And he came in and his heart was just ready. And the preacher made the invitation. He came forward. He couldn't get down here fast enough. Wanted to talk to somebody. Just got assurance of salvation. He was just ready. But there's others that need some watering, need some pruning, need some care. There's others that are hard-hearted. Listen now, and need the gentle rain of the Word of God, rain as in R-A-I-N, to soften up that soil a little bit. In the summertime, things dry out up here. And they get dry and the ground gets hard and almost like concrete sometimes. And we see on the forecast, oh good, thunder showers. That's not what we need. We need a slow, steady rain to soften things up. With that hard heart, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to come in and just boom. No. We need the gentle rain of the Word of God to soften up the soil of their heart. Number one, God loves people. Number two, God wants to redeem everybody. Number three, God uses people. Again, just blows my mind. Don't know why. But that was His plan. God is always at work. And number five, God is preparing His people. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. What did Brother Erickson say yesterday? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Gentiles eat pork chops. That's how you remember. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Gentiles eat pork chops. I was like, boom. That'll help you. That's going to help you in sword drills. You open up to Ephesians, it's like, do I go left or right? Oh, wait, Gentiles eat pork chops. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God is preparing us for something. He is working in us. He's preparing His people. God, listen now, as we read in Psalm 22 in verse 27 and 28, our first verses, God has a plan. God's got a plan. And He, listen to this title. God's got a lot of titles, but He is the architect of eternity. Architect of eternity. He's planning it all out. He's got a scheme. He's got a scheme sounds underhanded. He's got a plan. That's a good word. I can't think of a synonym. Give me a synonym for plan. A blueprint, sure. That's a good one. Yeah. He's ready. Nothing takes Him by surprise. God is preparing His people. These five truths are important. These five truths are not movable. No matter when you wake up, no matter what time period you find yourself, these five truths are not compromised. Remembering these things, remember the first word we used, helps us keep a proper perspective in our lives. Knowing God loves people, knowing God wants to redeem people, knowing God uses people, knowing God is always at work, and he has a plan, and he's preparing people, and he's knowing that changes us. This helps give us a proper perspective of what we should also be doing. What we as families need to take into account. How are, not just as individuals, but how is your home loving people? Helping to redeem the lost? Being used by God? What has he prepared you for? God, I think in our worksheet, number two, God is in control. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. I was so encouraged by this study this week. I was so encouraged because, you know, I don't know what, I have certain bookmarked internet pages on my computer because I try and keep updated with where we're at with COVID. There's certain things we gotta, you know, I'm just watching and watching numbers and watching the map, that yellow zone map. Man, that makes me nervous. Thankfully, it's still over on Manitou Road. It did not expand, nor did it change color. And we look at that and go, yeah, but what Niagara County has orange and red. Does that mean? That means, here, I'll tell you what that means. I'll tell you exactly what it means when the area goes from yellow to orange to red. God loves people. God wants to redeem the lost. He uses people. He's always at work, and he's preparing us. That's what that means. Well, what does it mean when the doctor comes in and says, we have an issue? It means God loves people. God wants to redeem the lost. God uses people. He's always at work, and he's preparing his people. So what happens? Why don't I feel like that? Because we lose perspective sometimes. We forgot these five fundamental truths about God. And we're looking at life through our eyes. And we'll get off course. God is in control. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way. Truth? Absolutely. But the Lord directeth his steps. You know what that tells me? There is regularly a fork in the road. And which way I go determines how I see things. If I follow my heart, you ever hear that? Ever watch a Hallmark movie? Just follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Say, why not? Let the Lord direct your steps. God's in control. The longer we walk with God, the more we will come to understand that he truly is in control of our lives and circumstances. Know this, your family is important to the Lord. And he desires to use your family to influence others. He desires to use your family to accomplish those five truths. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. He will do this, and we'll conclude with this thought, but I want to introduce this thought to you. He will do this right where you are and the places you are yet to go. Psalm 37. Isaac, are you on page 616? Okay, can you read verse 23 for us?
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I don't want to get into the negative side of that, but let's just think of it just for a moment. Remember, my heart deviseth a way. Is that good for me to go that way? It is not. We need to allow the Lord to direct our paths. See what happens? What it says when God directs our paths? You see, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has been guiding you to where you are right now. But we all have a, question number one under two, we all have a choice. Unlike the animals, I don't know if animals can rebel against God. Maybe they do. Maybe the frog sitting on the side of the road and the God is like, don't go across that road. And he's like, well, I can make it across the road. And he's like, don't go across the road. And he goes across the road and wham, semi, done. I don't know. Maybe the Lord does something in his heart. Maybe there's rebellious raccoons and they're like, oh, I can make it. No, don't do it. Boom. All right, no. Told you not to. Maybe when creation rebels against God, that's what happens. But you and I, what happens when we choose to sin? What we're doing is we're rebelling against God and reaping the consequence of the things that brings. The Holy Spirit is in us and wants to help us to do what pleases the Lord. The Lord is in us. The Holy Spirit of God helps us want to do what pleases God. He helps us to discern God's will. He helps us to make right choices. Proverbs 16, we're close to that. Proverbs 16:3, familiar verse. Maybe some of you can even quote it. Say, once you started, I could quote it. Okay. Leah, are you at Proverbs 16:3? Can you read it nice and loud? You see that? Here, Lord, I need you to direct my path. And what happens? He changes how we see things. Our works and our thoughts go hand in hand. But we all have a choice to make. We all have a choice to make. So look at your life. Do you see how God has been preparing you and directing your path? God's perspective is crucial. Go to John chapter 12. We're not to question point number two yet. I'll tell you when. God is in control. We all have choices to make. We did not do the second one, so you didn't miss it. Inevitably, I don't think I teach the lessons well because I make up these things. The handout, and inevitably after the handout or after that, people come up and say, I didn't get a blank. Oh, I'm sorry. That was on me. So I'm trying to help you. The Bible says, John chapter 12 and verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. God's perspective is crucial. John 12:26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor, it says. What does God desire of us? And this is our next point. God desires that we would serve Him. God uses servants. That's what He wants. That's the attitude that God wants out of God's out of His people. God wants you to have the attitude, I'm here to serve God. We're going to look at a bunch of verses right now, quickly though. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. And I want you to pay attention to the attitude of the people that the Lord uses. Number 1, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. And the Lord said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. What does that mean? That means she was a servant of God. A handmaid. That's what that person is. Speaking of Mary. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now let's go to Romans chapter 16. We're going to look at a lot of verses real quick, like 7 or 8 verses. But we're going to see a common thought. God uses servants. God uses servants. Romans 16:1 says, And I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a... Say it with me. A what? Servant of the church. A servant. Colossians chapter 4. Gentiles eat pork chops. I can't stop saying it. I can't. It's just in there. Because it makes me so happy. It's true. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and," what is that next word? "Fellow servant in the Lord." Look at verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ." Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God. James chapter 1. So I just got to Titus. I'm sorry. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm no rocket scientist, or I don't have a doctorate in theology, but I'm intelligent enough to know that I think that God wants us to know that the people He values are the ones that serve Him. I don't know much about Jude outside of what he wrote and a little background information, but God made it clear to me that he served the Lord. And so did Peter, and so did James, and so did Paul, and so did God uses servants. Servants seeking the Master's will. Servants don't spend time dreaming up dreams and coming up with visions for their masters to bless. Instead, the servant goes to the master, who reveals to them his thoughts and desires and then fulfills them. Remember our truths. Remember who's in charge. Remember who's in control. It's not you and I. It's all about our perspective. And as servants, we just do what God wants us to do. Our families serve the Lord. Hey, listen, we can be busy doing many great and wonderful things, but if we are not accomplishing that which the Master has given us to do, we've just disobeyed the Master. We spoke of Noah. Noah was told to build a boat. God told Noah, build the ark. Well, years later, he comes down the line and he talks to Moses. "Moses, I want you to deliver the nation of Israel." "Well, I'm building an ark. That's what Noah did. That's what I'm going to do." Yeah, I understand that's what Noah did, but that's not what I have for you. I have another job." "Yeah, but look at how great this ark is. I think I can really improve on what Noah did." No. I want you to deliver the nation of Israel. "But I like boats." Number one, that's not going to work on the Nile. Number two, I need you to deliver the nation of Israel. And that's what we do. We come to the Lord and say, "Man, listen to this great idea I have. I want you to bless this." And he's like, why are you building that? Why are you doing that? That's not my plan for you. Here's what I want you to accomplish. And no matter how good our intentions are, if we're not obeying the Master, we're not a good servant. God's people don't need to be running around trying to find good things for God to do for them. Instead, just waiting upon the Master, watch where God is working around you and join Him in what He has purposed to do through us. Instead of asking God why, ask God, what is it that He has in mind to do in and through the situation that will bring Him glory? We can lay in bed at night and go, "Man, why COVID-19? Why that? God, you really messed some things up." God messed some things up? Do you know the Lord has never chosen a wrong thing? God has never messed anything up. So instead of asking God, why are you doing this? How about we ask God, what are you doing and how can my family get involved in that? God is at work around us. Some of you have children, some of you have young children. There's patterns that we see in our children that repeat. How they conduct themselves, we can, as parents, we can pick out even our children in a crowd just by their gait, their walk, their way, because that's just how they are. And when they change that, something's up. So if I saw Hudson walking around like this, I would ask the question, what are you up to? Well, turn around. What's in your hand? Nothing. Show me the other hand. Give me the candy. Give me it. What is God up to? Not in a malicious way, but what is God doing around you? What was the Lord doing even before you acknowledged Him in your life? I spent some time with Brother Rice this past weekend, and again, I love hearing about how the Lord drew him to Him. And God was working in his life long before he ever acknowledged it. You see, God was working in your life even before you recognized it. So what is God doing in your life right now? What is He doing around you right now? Some areas that God is working. Number one, right where you live. And this is how we'll conclude these series of lessons. And I hope they were a blessing to you. I hope maybe we'll do a couple more things with some family stuff, but today concludes the thoughts that I was trying to accomplish. That remember our first week, we had all the fruits and vegetables, and so oftentimes we get disheartened that our family doesn't look like another family, and I tried really hard over a series of weeks to remind us that God has a plan and a purpose, and He can use you no matter how you're looking. Now, certainly, He desires to use us in a way that is honoring and glorifying to Him. Not, God doesn't bless sin. We understand that. But regardless of what your family looks like, God is working around us. And God desires to use our family, your family, to accomplish His will. It wasn't a typical family series in which we defined what the husband is and what the wife is and the role of the children. Maybe we can do that in the future. But the purpose of these lessons was to remind us and to challenge our heart that God's got a plan and a purpose. Right where you're at. So, area number one, right where you live. Who are your immediate neighbors? Who lives on either side of you, across the street? What are their needs? What are their concerns? What do they believe? Do you know your mailman? Mailman? How about the garbage guy? How about the FedEx driver? Right now, you're going to get a chance to see Mr. UPS man regularly. Say, why so? How so? Because you shop online. Because it's unsafe in the stores. I've grown accustomed. I can go Christmas shopping without having to go Christmas shopping. That's a win. You get stuff and you don't have to go to Target or Bed Bath & Beyond. You can buy all this stuff online. What's your UPS driver's name? What's your FedEx driver's name? Where you live, are you given to hospitality? Do you have a room available for traveling preachers and missionaries? Remember in 1 Kings chapter 17, we have the prophet and the woman makes just a room for the prophet to come through and just stay in. Say, would God use me for that? Absolutely. If you made yourself available. Do you even know your neighbor's names? I think it's Bob and... Yeah, I don't know them over there. They're weird. They're probably saying the same thing about you. But let's remember this. God loves people, right? God wants to redeem the lost. He uses people. He's always at work and he's preparing his people. Number one, right where you live. Number two, how about your home? Have you dedicated your home for his use? Is it obvious that God is important to you and your family when someone walks in? Is your home a place to encourage fellow Christians? Is it a place of prayer? Is it a place to disciple others? Ask yourself this question. What do you think the Lord is most pleased about with your home? Number one, where you live. Number two, your home. Number three, how about you as an individual? What gifts has the Lord given you? How about this? What gifts has the Lord given your family? Are they being used for God's glory? I told you I had a great time this past weekend, and I'll really encourage maybe some of our, if you didn't get a chance to go, talk to some of these guys that went to this men's retreat. It was excellent. There was a pastor there, Pastor Phelan, Brian Phelan. And he had his old acoustic guitar. And said, I used to play it in the clubs, and then the Lord saved me. Now I use it for his honor and glory. He said, it doesn't sound the best, and it gets out of tune really easy. I could certainly upgrade, but it's the thought that, and he said this to me personally, he said, it's the thought that God could take something that I use for the Lord or world, and now he's using it for his honor and glory, and I could never trade it out. So what gifts has the Lord given you and your family? Say, we can only play the radio. That's all we do at our house. That's fine. Rodell's made it in. We're in Brother Rodell. Are you being used for God's glory? Is there someone that God has laid on your family's heart that you want to try and be a blessing and encouragement to? What is God doing with each of your family members? If God speaks to you, don't you know that he speaks to the little hearts that are in your house or the other people that are there? If God is working in your life, God's probably working in their life, right? Because that's a truth that is immovable. God is always at work. We like to do puzzles, especially this time of year when the snow is falling and we have a space heater in the back room and a wood stove, and we get it pretty cooking in our house, and it's cozy warm, and we sip tea and all that, and we have a puzzle table. A puzzle would not be very fun if they'd only had one piece. A puzzle is most benefited when we take all the pieces and put it together. And that's like kind of your individuals at your house. God is working here, God is working here, and we put those two things together, we get a beautiful picture. So what is God doing with each family member? How about at your workplace? Are you being salt and light? Do you know your coworkers? What are their needs? Say, what are you trying to get me full-time in the ministry? No, but God loves people. God wants to redeem the lost. God uses people. And it's by no coincidence you're working where you're working, next to the people that you're working. And you have an opportunity to influence your coworkers. Are there fellow believers that need encouragement? How about the weird guy at the end that always eats lunch by himself? Maybe he just needs a friend. I was so encouraged. Again, this weekend was great. And there was a young boy, and he was kind of, I don't think he had another group to be with. And one of our young men just, we were walking, and he said, hey, I need you can't play cornhole by yourself. That's where you take the sandbags and throw it across. And he's like, do I have a challenger? Kind of looked at the person that I was with, and he's like, I'll go. Man, praise the Lord, to be friendly to someone that was all by themselves. That's encouragement. You got that weird guy at work that just needs a friend? Maybe he's not as weird as you thought. I know what he needs. He needs, just like you did, someone to help get him to Christ. In your workplace, how many do we have? Six? One, two, three, four, five. Sometimes I combine points on that. Okay, number five. How about those divine appointments? Say divine appointments. Sit next to someone in the plane. It's been a while since we flew, but you got nowhere to go for the next 2.5, 3 hours. Or if you're going to Africa, 15. Get a chance to meet somebody and learn a lot about somebody. Hopefully they have good hygiene habits, right? Those are divine appointments. Grocery store, the person in front of you, approximately 6 feet, 6 feet behind you. You're going to be there for a while, especially if you're at Walmart or Tops. All right. See the person in front, take out the coupon book. It's like, oh my. All right, well, we'll just settle in. Put it in park, right? I mean, here we are. And we can get frustrated with that, or we can remember that God loves people, God wants to redeem lost, and He uses people, and He is at work. And here I find myself in a divine appointment. And I have a choice to make. Grocery store, parents of children's playmates, the doctor's office. Man, the doctor's office is a wonderful place to share the gospel with. Why? Because you're sitting next to somebody that is afraid. No one likes going to the doctor. If they like going to the doctor, they probably like the dentist and the mechanic. There's something wrong with those kind of people. How about, I don't know anybody. I don't know one single person that I know of that lives in South Dakota. I don't. But I regularly get calls from South Dakota. I'll get a call from New Mexico notifying me, helping me that my vehicle's car, my warranty is about to expire. So what do you do with that? Someone just called you. There's a real person on the other side. Don't miss those divine appointments. I get 0% interest on my credit card, and I get phone calls to lower my interest rate. I'm doing the math. They're going to start paying me because there's nowhere else to go. I have 0% for the next 15 months. I'll take that call. Sure. Hello, Hassan. How are you today? Oh, I have good news for you. We are able to lower your... are you interested? I'm interested because mine's 0%. Hassan, I have a better deal than that. If you were to die today, sir, where would you spend eternity? Say, do they hang up on you? 95% of the time they do not. All of a sudden it gets human. Say, what are you doing? Divine appointments. How about this? Thinking outside the box. Last one. Maybe a crisis center, a shelter that you can get involved in as a family. I don't know about you, but we have so much clothes at our house. We keep our clothes in seasons. Say, what does that mean? We have winter clothes, we have summer clothes, and we swap them out halfway through. Now, it's always weird. I don't know when to do one or the other. I'm looking outside. I think it's time to put my winter or my summer clothes away. I think it's time. We'll switch over and we'll go to And we have so many clothes, and I put clothes away that I intended to wear or that I was hoping I'd fit into again. And I put those away, and hopefully in 6 months, it would be different. But you as a family could get involved with a local shelter. There's things that you guys can do as a family. Let's not forget these five important truths. God loves people. God wants to redeem the lost. He uses people. He is always at work, and He's preparing us to accomplish His will. So look around. Look around and try and see what God is doing around you. That how does my family help accomplish these five things? Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. Thank You. I don't even understand why You would use us. But God, thank You that we could be Your servants. Lord, I pray that You would, through these lessons, encourage and strengthen our families to serve You to the fullest. Lord, we do love You, and we are, again, thankful for any opportunity that You give us. Lord, help us to have Your perspective on life. Once again, we love You. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.